And the United States, which is the Manasseh nation, is taking the Joseph blessing, and we're the guys that get the good things in the end, because we're the guys that's going to feed the world. Now, in Ezekiel 37, I think I'll go to 38, sorry. He says in verse 4, I'll turn you back, put hooks in your eyes, and bring you forth. What's that remind you of? All right, fishing. Put a hook in your jaw. Turn your back. Bring your forth. If you got a fish, and what are you doing with him when you turn him back and bring him forth? Okay. How about that? You got the picture? Just jerking him. 38:4. Battle of Jehoshaphat. Put a hook in his jaw, and I'm going to jerk him back and forth and back and forth. You got the picture? I'm going to bring him and pull him back and bring him here and pull him back and bring him in and pull him back. You follow what I'm getting at? Verse 4? I'm going to jerk him back and forth. But it's all the same basic idea. The same hook, the same nation, the same event, though it swings back and forth and back and forth. You see what I'm getting at? Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, 67, 73, put a question mark. Same hook, back and forth and back and forth. So in 67, who came down? Russia? Is that right? Brought all those arms against them. Isn't that right? Then, tidings came from the north, and that fast, within an hour, Russia pulled out and left Egypt high and dry. 1967. And back they went. 1973. October. Big war again. Russian airplanes flying into Cairo, American airplanes into Lod. Big war on. Got fast in the middle of an hour, split from 1 hour, all kinds of ships and things coming in. From that point, everything turned around, went back, left him high and dry again. Sound like a hook in a jaw? Sound like bringing him down? And yanking them back. And bringing them down. And yanking them back. Am I making sense to anybody here? Do you see what I'm talking about? God taking Russia down there and yanking them back. And down there and pulling them back. And I believe that's what we're dealing with right now. Now go with me to Ezekiel 39. Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Agog, and say unto, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I'll turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Now, in some of your margin notes, I'll turn thee back, and where it says leave but the sixth part of thee, it says something else in your margins. Who's got it?
Make thee with six plagues, or draw thee.
That's good enough.
Back with a hook of six teeth.
Okay.
Hard to read that.
Draw thee with a hook of six teeth or plagues. And 39 was the Battle of Armageddon. I don't know whether I caught that or not. 38, Battle of Jehoshaphat. Put the hook in. I'm going to... 39, Battle of Armageddon. I haven't proved it to you, but it is, but I don't have time to prove it. This time, a hook, and I'm going to bring you down with six plagues. A hook with six teeth. or plagues. From Jehoshaphat to Armageddon is how many plagues? Isn't that fascinating? From Jehoshaphat, 1-3, 4-5-6, is Armageddon. Just like Revelation said. So, there at 39:2, I put some kind of a note to make sure that even though the King James Version doesn't say it exactly the way it ought to be, you understand that the sixth part of thee is really six plagues. And then put a reference to the six trumps of Revelation. Because there's a perfect parallel. In the book of Revelation, he says he's going to use six trumps or six vials, which are called six plagues or vials of wrath. And in Ezekiel, it's exactly the same thing. From the time of Jehoshaphat, Ezekiel 38, to the time of Armageddon, Ezekiel 39, he says there'll be six plagues. And that's exactly the perfect parallel. Then when the six plagues are up, and he's drawn him back and forth and back and forth and down and down, finally he'll get to the Battle of Armageddon, where at the Battle of Armageddon, he will be, in a sense, annihilated, militarily. And this will usher in perfection, peace, Shangri-La. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He'll reign forever and ever. After 1,000 years, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 8, He'll go up again. This time the devil will be released. At the beginning of the 1,000 years, the false prophet and the Antichrist are thrown into the lake of fire. Up here, in the fifth, we're in the fifth seal at the moment. According to the Bible, the Antichrist is in the pit at the moment and won't be released until the fifth trump. Let me say that again. All this time, there is no manifestation of a physical Antichrist. It's only a spirit. Now, John said the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, but there's not a guy. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. There's not a use. He's the Antichrist. Well, we've tried it and it didn't work. And it says he'll not be manifest. You'll not know him until the fifth trump or the fifth vial. And it says they had a king over them, and his name had it in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You remember that? That's the Antichrist. Because you see, as far as number five, you've got to have an Antichrist before you can have an Armageddon. You've got to have an Armageddon before you can have a victory. And that brings in the 1,000 years of peace. Then at the victory, the Antichrist, who was let out of the bottomless pit, is thrown into the lake of fire. Now there's a difference between bottomless pit and lake of fire. And the Antichrist and false prophet go into the lake of fire, but the devil goes in the bottomless pit where the Antichrist has been all this time. Say it again. The devil is different than the Antichrist. It's the same, but it's different. I don't understand it. It's the mystery of a Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, devil, Antichrist, false prophet. I don't understand, but that's what it is. And according to the Bible, the Antichrist literally, physically, is not being manifest like Jesus literally, physically, is not being manifest. Though the Spirit of Jesus is here, and the Spirit of the Antichrist is here, working in your minds to do, you know, right or wrong. But eventually there'll be a manifestation of an Antichrist at the fifth trump vial. Then, at the seventh, the Antichrist, false prophet, lake, fire, burns, ever, gone. Whew! Over. But the devil doesn't go that same place. He goes into the bottomless pit with a chain. So that means that he's all in prison, I guess, that's the best word, for the 1,000 years. Then, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, even the devil is released way down there sometime, way out in the future. I don't understand, don't know why, but God did it. It might be to test all these nations that are born during this period. I don't know. You see, because during this 1,000 years, there's no Antichrist, no false prophet, no devil. So nobody can ever say the devil made me do it. Seeing everything will be peace on the Holy Mount. Everything will be neat because there's no influence to be bad. So during this 1,000 years, no bad influence. Just good guys, or just regular guys being ruled by good guys, and no bad guys to come in to make the regular guys be bad. But according to the book of Revelation, at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil comes out again. This time he gets Gog and Magog, and he goes for the final great battle, the last war of the world. At the last war of the world, at the end of the 1,000 years, from that point on, it's over forever. It's nothing but neat, good, perfect harmony from then on. Now, what do you do with this information? Well, number one, I think that since we found out that there will be wars and rumors of wars until he comes, and I believe that the Bible calls at least three great battles, that from the standpoint of economics, you can just bet on the fact that there will be a munitions industry. And it tells you right there in Ezekiel, beat your pruning hooks into spears and your plowshares into swords. Take instruments of peace and form an industry that will make instruments of war. So therefore, as far as I can see, throughout this next period of time, at least till the end of the seventh trump, there will be a munitions industry from the economic standpoint. There'll be ups and downs, of course, in employment, but there'll always be a military budget. There'll always be a heavy tax for the munitions industry, and you can just bet on it. And as long as there's a heavy tax for munitions industry, there'll be people building houses for people that live in order to build guns. And you can just expect it to be that way all the way along. We may not like it. We may not want to be a part of it, but still it's going to be part of economics, part of commerce, all the way to the very last. There's going to be a tremendous inflation, absolutely tremendous. Talking about a population explosion, it tells you that in the fifth trump or fifth vial, 6, there are going to be 200 million soldiers. 200 million soldiers. You know how big an army that is? Every man, woman, and child in America becomes fighting age and a soldier. It's inconceivable. Our minds cannot comprehend this. So therefore, can you imagine a population, a world population that will produce 200 million boys between the ages of 18 and 27? Suppose we just had 200 million boys between the ages of 18 and 27. That usually thrills them on the college campus where I teach. Thrills the girls. Oh, yeah, when they think of that many boys. But there's going to be that many women, and there's going to be that many mamas and daddies and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas. And do you know what it means? There's going to be a tremendous population explosion to the point that one day, between here and New York, it'll be all one city. But in a sense, even the farmlands will have more condominiums on them until it's all solid for all those people. So if you're making investments and thinking along those lines, you just might as well realize that there is going to be a population explosion. They'll probably make the pill illegal for one reason or another. And the population, maybe cancer, who knows what, they'll find something. And there will be a population explosion. And it will produce a giant army. Not necessarily in this country, but all countries. So when you're making economic decisions, just realize there's going to be a lot more mouths to feed, and they'll be fed. But there's one nation that's going to have a spirit on them that the other nations just don't have. And that nation is the United States of America, and the spirit of Joseph is going to be this nation. And the spirit of Joseph is the spirit that will take the grain and feed the world. And the spirit of Joseph will be on the Joseph people called Manasseh. See, Manasseh's right out of Joseph. And the Joseph blessing will be on the United States of America. The Joseph blessing, the Joseph spirit will make us do what we ought to do to feed the world. And the Joseph blessing will bring us back preeminence among the nations. For at the moment, there is a golden oil that flows out of Arab, out of the Arab countries. But one of these days, there'll be golden grain flowing out of the United States. For we have the productive capacity to provide the grain that's necessary to feed the world. And just as soon as we can mobilize and get that thing done, it will bring us that much closer to the utopian age, Shangri-La, what the Bible calls millennium, when the lion shall lie down with the lamb. If I were, if I had a lot of money, somehow got a big inheritance or something, and was adventuresome, I might go to the St. Lawrence Seaway, Lake Michigan, Illinois River, Ohio, Mississippi, or Missouri, along the Great Seaway, where they are now building at a tremendous pace. That's where all the action is right now in the whole United States. Building barges and shipping grain out of Kansas. It goes on an ocean-going barge in Kansas. And the next time it's touched is in Europe. Going to Northern Europe that way, and going out the Gulf of Mexico. Some of it goes down that way, and that's where the big action is right now. And if I were an investor, I'd look very, very seriously on those industries that are building up, you know, along that great, tremendous trade route of grain as it comes out of the breadbasket of the United States and feeds the world. I believe that I'm talking to some people here tonight that are going to be here to see every one of these events. I'm talking to people here tonight who are going to go through every change. Change of the spirit, the change of the soul, change of the body, and be alive and remain to the coming of the Christ. I've talked to some people here who are actually going to have the mind of Christ. Actually quit being selfish and start doing things for someone else, not because you're selfish, but because you got the love of God. Because you got the agape God flowing through you, meeting someone else's needs. Instead of thinking selfishly about your own self, you'll be meeting other people's needs. I'm talking to some people here tonight who are going to get rid of their own minds and put on the mind of Christ, and then get the glory of the Father in these bodies. They're going to sit with Christ and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And I'm standing as a candidate to be among that group. I want to be a part of those guys that make all the changes necessary, spirit, soul, and body, to be in that final group. Angels and prophets have desired to look into you guys. Angels and prophets have desired to look into this generation, the generation that's here, at the blowing or the opening of the sixth vial. The change, sixth seal. The change of going from that old age into the new age, be the generation that's going to be here, the coming of the Christ. So when I pray for your spirit, soul, and body, I'll be praying that you'll change from what you are to what you ought to be. And when I say what you are, I'm not finding fault with you right now, because you have really shaped up from the last time I saw you. But you see, the point is this. You're going to keep changing. Mm-hmm. Going to keep putting on the mind of Christ. Going to keep shaping up until finally you've got the mind of Christ, and finally He can put His glory in your physical body. Mm-hmm. Then He can trust you. At the moment you have the earnest of your inheritance, which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is just an earnest or a little bit of the Holy Spirit. A down payment, earnest down payment of the Holy Spirit. One of these days you're going to have the kind of Spirit that's going to roll out of your belly like rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. And water the whole land. You'll be able to bring life to the whole land from the rivers of living water that come from your own belly. It will not be a spurty Spirit like you have right now, but it will be an effervescent, overflowing, continuous flow of the Spirit. And you'll be able to, at that time, when they bring you a little baby who's leg was broken when one of the rocks on the mountain that was talking about fell on it, you'll just say in Jesus' name, pop, and the kid will run. The people here, they're going to do that for the fullness of the Spirit. Will you stand while we pray? Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray, Lord, that the details of this lesson don't bring us a downer, but bring us an upper. We pray, Lord, that each one of us, though we see that things are headed toward further troubles and battles, realize that beyond that, on the other side, there's victory. We pray that each one of us will have our eyes on the victory, not on the problems of the present situation. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will change from what we are to what we ought to be. And now we ask that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. In His pray, amen. Okay, now the question here was, how about the ceiling of the 144,000? I guess it's really, you'd like to have some comments. Is that right?
How is this going to be done, you think? And not who they are, but about the ceiling.
Okay. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, starts into this, and starting with 4 and then on, for about 12 or 15 verses, it describes the ceiling of the 144,000. Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30 tell us how they're sealed. 1:13 says, "After that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And 4:30 says about the same thing, that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it's my personal opinion that the sealing that's on the forehead, which is a sign for the mind, the hand is a sign for what you do, and the forehead is a sign for what you think. I'm going to say that again. The Antichrist seals them on the head and the hand, and God seals us on the head. He leaves out the hand, but I believe that it's inferred. And it's mainly in what you think and what you do, not in a literal tattoo needle. Now, there's some people who believe in the tattoo needle idea that the Antichrist will write 666 and God will write His name and so forth. But I'm looking at it in the symbolic way right now, and I believe it's what you think. And now the sealing for the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 and on, it's a personal opinion, though I couldn't prove it to you. I just feel it this way. That this is an additional sealing beyond the initial, what we call, earnest of our inheritance. Right now we have the Holy Spirit, which is an earnest of our inheritance. But under my present power, dunamis, that I have at the moment, I don't think I have enough dunamis to get through what I'm going to have in a little while. And I want not only the earnest of my inheritance, but the fullness of my inheritance. Now, the Bible teaches that there's a difference between the earnest of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there's coming a time when each person here is going to have it flowing out of their innermost part's belly, like rivers of living water, and it'll be a real river, a flowing, giant, gushing river, not a spurty Spirit, not a Old Faithful that spurts every 28 minutes, but a rolling, gushing, roaring, boiling springs. It's called kind of an effervescent, overflowing, never-ending Holy Spirit. And I expect this is the kind of thing to be in operation in the sixth seal. Now, the reference here is in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, but you've got to back up to 6:12, because it's all the same thing. From 6:12 to 8:1 and beyond is all the same thing. It's all that group of people, including the sealing. Now, at this time, I honestly believe that there are people here, you can take it or leave it, I honestly believe there are people here who, having had that fullness of the Spirit, that flowing, that effervescent, always full, bubbling, never empty kind of Holy Spirit, during those times of trials and troubles, during those six-pronged attack on Gog and Magog, or the six seals, or six trumpets, six vials, during that time, they bring the little baby, and the leg's broken, in Jesus' name, you just pop, you know, off they go and play. I believe you'll have that kind of dunamis, that kind of power, overflowing, you know, a Peter-type power, that where shadows do the work, and, or afterglow. But the point is that it'll be so much more than we have now. Now, we got a neat thing now. Would you admit it? See, it's real nice now. We're glad for it. But I have not seen, neither ear heard. You know, we just really, to me, I can't really comprehend all that this fullness of that ceiling is. But back to your original question about the ceiling, it appears to me that the forehead is the matter of the mind. And I think that when these guys are sealed, when us guys are sealed, for the fullness, we'll never again have another selfish thought. Yeah. We'll be so full of the Holy Spirit that we'll actually be able to constantly meet other people's needs. Greater agape hath no man than this, and he'll lay down his life for his friends. However, I do believe that those who receive this seal will not go through physical death, they'll go through mental death. If that makes sense to you there. They'll be decapitated, not literally, but decapitated from their souls. Their mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude, soul power. The carnal mind will be wiped out and been replaced with the mind of Christ. So the sealing of the 144,000, they ought to literally, honestly, fully have the mind of Christ. The complete mind of the anointing.
The input will no longer be received by the five senses, but by the Spirit of God.
Okay. Is that what you want to talk about? And that's the best I can do with it under my present understanding.
For a free list of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David E. Ball Bible School, 102.